Ecoteric and Esoteric K Knowledge 327. 328 Lectures on ANC and Philosophy. Hand must be recast into a more sufficient mold, for the morbid materialism of this age can only be dispelled by educating the juvenile mind in the principles of higher rationality. In antiquity, the roads of lower education led, like the converging spokes of a wheel, toward the mysteries. Knowledge was then an actuality, and the byways of speculative thought, though tortuous, eventually led to the open gates of operative knowing. Those who excelled in temporal education, by right of their superior mentality and integrity, were permitted to enter that inner sanctuary where the principles of divine knowledge were unfolded. Here the mind was diverted from the course of materiality, and initiated into those secrets of spiritual comprehension which bestows tranquility, compassion, and comprehension. Higher education began where lower education ceased, and all who sincerely desired to know were privileged to receive knowledge up to the limits of their own capacity. The arts and sciences of men were revealed to be but outer garments of a divine spirit, the concealments of a superior science, the science of living. Today all this has been swept aside, and the advanced bodies of learning are unable to confer that more adequate interpretation, for lack of which education necessarily fails. How little true incentive there is for scholastic greatness when he who has learned all that men can teach finds naught but disenchantment in the inadequacy of the whole system. When the masters of a science confess their ignorance of the very principles which are the daily subjects of their speculations, what shall it profit a man to sit at their feet and spend his years in the determination of the exact degree of ignorance possessed by his mentors? Is it not possible that man comes into this physical world better fitted to function in harmony with rationality than after passing through what we like to term our course of culture, wherein the divine impulses toward the virtuous and the beautiful are stunted and the integrity of the nature incurably upset? Man is fortunate indeed if his education does not render him incapable of knowing. As Paracelsus might have said, he is best served by education who is least injured by it. A great thinker is one who by some strange providence has escaped the pitfalls of mediocrity unwittingly dug by men to entrap genius. All the world, wrote Emerson, is at hazard when God lets loose a thinker. Humanity seems to fear an intellect which is great enough to destroy our prevalent sense of smugness and complacency. We are naturally inclined toward inertia, whether comfortably or uncomfortably we prefer to vegetate, and woe unto him who dares disturb our proletarian serenity. Humanity chooses to languish in the darkness of things as they are for fear that the godlike splendor of things as they might be will also uncover humanity's foibles and impose the burden of their correction. Knowledge is a responsibility, and responsibility is a term formidable and disquieting. No better epitome of the enslavement of the intellect by education can be found than Alexander Pope's excoriation of pedantism in the fourth book of the Dunciad, the Epic of the Dunces. The pedagogues of every land are here personified by a specter whose index finger the virtue of the dreadful wand holds forth, and whose beavered brow a birchen garland wears. Preceptor of an awful knowledge, the bloodless lips of this spectral doctrinaire speak out the mandates of the superficial. Since man from beast by words is known, words are man's province, words we teach alone. When reason doubtful, like the Samian letter, points him two ways, the narrower is the better. Placed at the door of learning, youth to guide, we never suffer it to stand too wide. To ask, to guess, to know, as they commence, as fancy opens the quick springs of sense. We ply the memory, we load the brain. Bind rebel wit, and double chain on chain. Confine the thought, to exercise the breath. And keep them in the pale of worlds till death. What are the talents, or how are designed? We hang one jingling padlock on the mind. Ecoteric and esoteric K knowledge 329. 530 L lectures ONANCIENTPHE Lazafi. How utterly we have become the servants of words, elevating mere terms to the degree of infallibility. While it is fitting that we should regard them as media of intercourse, is there not an understanding which is superior to words, a silent language, by which comprehension blends with comprehension, a transcendent mode by which the within which is you communes with the within which is I, and we together commune with that within which is all? Do not the stars upon their lofty thrones commune by a strange silence with each other, by wordless tongue and soundless voice uniting in a common knowing far beyond the ken of mortal apprehension? With upright larynx, does man so greatly excel all other creatures that he shall achieve glory by virtue of his lips alone? If he earns a crown, must he wear it on his tongue? Words are but the infinite diversity of sound, and by many a curious gasp and rattle do we make our whim cease known. We live in a universe of words, terms and letters continually intervene to become the agencies of endless misunderstanding. As the memory scrub of words is not a thinker, so the cloth of philosophic terminology cannot make the philosopher. Words arc but names for unknown quantities and conditions, no more. For words arc powerless to acquaint us with the inner natures whose qualities they bound. In Genesis it is declared that Adam went forth and named all creatures, and following his example men have never ceased to coin appellations with which to designate or describe the objects and conditions of environment. By appropriate terms the heaven and earth came to be defined, but how different from wordy definition is the comprehending nature of those polynomial powers which, founded in eternity, verge toward time just enough to be vaguely apprehensible. Picture the enlightenment of the proverbial inquisitive schoolboy who, pointing to a growing mystery of leaves and stems, presents his instructor with this poser: "Master, what is this living, unfolding thing?" And he in whom the acumen of the past is presumed to be concentrated can only reply: "My boy, that is a tree." The teacher might also very consistently have added: "We know it is a tree, for we named it ourselves." Groping after realities, the juvenile mind is confronted with nothing but the limiting, strangling bonds of terms. As he passes through the various stages of education, the pupil is familiarized with all the relatively inconsequential opinions we share concerning the subject of trees. A cross-section of their trunks, he studies their inner constitution, and with the microscope may see the roots that terminate in hungry mouths, or the infinitely minute life particles that conspire to produce leaf and stem. Yet of tree itself, the mystery of that intangible something which expands from a tiny seed and surrounds itself with bark, man can discover nothing. Thus education turns us from the consideration of living realities to cherish the baseless notions of our sires. While the heavenly orbs march on in majestic file to a glorious and unlimited destiny, while the whole universe, celestial and terrestrial, thrills with vibrant actualities and thunders on in concord with cosmic principle, humanity concerns itself with the trivial ideas of its cultural codes. Men turn their backs upon the midnight sky, whose immensity frightens them and dissipates their bombast, to the infantile task imposed by their culture of choosing the proper fork or frock for a formal banquet. having familiarized themselves with the decrees of fashion in these respects, such little minds rest upon the oars of petty AC. Compellishment until natural decay returns their ashes to the common mother. Fascinated by the insignificant and bewildered by the real, oblivious to the distant and terrified by the imminent, mortals live by the meanest of their codes and choose mediocrity as the path of ease. The value of present-day education is not to be discounted, but its superficiality is to be condemned. It may have value as a means, but it is wholly inadequate as an end, for it cannot supply that knowledge indispensable to right living. If poor meet by a sort of philosophic optimism concerning the ultimates of knowledge, and leavened by the ancient procedures and disciplines, material education could prepare its exoterica and esoteric K knowledge. 331. 332 L lectures on ANCNP Helosophy. Votarize for those loftier forms of learning for lack of which the nations perish. So long as education assumes that no edge beyond its own prescribed domain is unavailable, it is false to the great need of humanity. Unfortunately, this is the assumption prevalent in the bodies of so-called higher learning. Ridicule is heaped upon the ancients for their superstitions. The esoteric doctrines are declared to have been idle rumors generated in the perfervid imaginations of unbalanced fanatics, who were consequently branded charlatans, adventurers, and impostors. Mindful of the claims of consistency, should we not condemn as impostors those schools which supply mere notions in lieu of actual knowledge and declare the individual to be educated though totally ignorant of every vital issue of existence? Graduates of modern educational institutions are presented with impressive diplomas, which too often are the most tangible evidence of scholastic attainment. In his discourse on initiation, Hermes elucidates to his son Tatian the subject of spiritual education. The oration moves rhythmically and majestically upon the theme of appreciation, and may be summed up in the single thought that appreciation for universal good is the beginning of wisdom. Education is here revealed as the discipline whereby man is rendered capable of appreciating divine order and made susceptible to its redeeming impulses. Tatian is instructed by his immortal father in the discovery of God in these words: "If thou wouldst contemplate the Creator even in perishable things, in things which are on the earth, or in the deep, reflect, O my son, on the formation of man in his mother's womb, contemplate carefully the skill of the workman, learn to know him according to the divine beauty of the work, who formed the orb of the eye, who pierced the openings of the nostrils and of the ears, who made the mouth to open, who traced out the channels of the veins, who made the bones hard, who covered the flesh with skin, who separated the fingers and the toes, who made the feet broad, who hollowed out the pores, who spread out the spleen, who